Tonight is actually my last Wednesday night. I leave on Sunday to head out to Oral Roberts University. So Mom wanted me to talk. So that's what I'm doing. And Grayson, we didn't plan this at all. What he talked about for offering is basically what I'm going to say, except he said it a lot quicker. And so I don't even need to say this. But tonight I want to talk about something that's really been stirring up the inside of me the last few weeks. And it's in Hebrews 11. And something that was stirring up during the, sometimes I get up here and I'm turning my Bible while I'm talking. I don't know where I'm turning. I'm just doing it. But, just doing that a second ago. I realized it. It's something that was stirring up. I need to get away from the Bible. Stirring up with me during the Jeremy Gall meetings. And it has to do with faith. It has to do with seeking God, going after what God has for us. And so I just wanted to talk about that tonight. And some of this stuff that I'll say, you've heard it a million times. But it's important that we're reminded, because in my own life, I know that I get off track. And so I know that, you know, we're all human, and there's those days when we're on and those days we're off. And so wherever you're at, I pray that tonight you would be encouraged. And this is in Hebrews 11, verse 6. This whole chapter is about faith, and it's about Abraham and Moses and Enoch and all the different people, Sarah, and it goes down the line about all these people who trusted in God. And it says something in Hebrews 11, 6 that I just love. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So this scripture says several things. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Basically, you can't please God on your own works. You can't work your way to heaven. All right, that's what some people believe. This is why they built the Tower of Babel. They were trying to reach God. Literally, they were trying to reach the heavens on their own. And they tried to build with their own hands, but they couldn't do it. And so faith is believing, it's trusting. And so when you and I trust, when we believe on Jesus and what he did at the cross, what we just sang about, what he did at the when he resurrected, when we believe on that, we are, that second we do that, we become God's children, and we are pleasing to God. So tonight, some people read this scripture and say, hey, what they read it and they get condemned because they say, do I have faith? And then you start to think, okay, if I don't have faith, then I'm not pleasing God. And that's not what I'm trying to say at all tonight. Tonight, if you believe in Jesus, God is pleased with you because you're his child. And so that's what that says right there. Then it says, for he who comes to God, that's you and me, when we come to God, we must believe that he is. We must believe that God is. That he is God, obviously, but that his word is true. That the promises of this Bible that he made, that they are the only truth, the only life. And so in that statement right there, we must believe that God is, not only that he exists, but that he's on our side, he's on our team, and he's working for us. And if we step out on his promises, that they will produce something in our lives. All right? Then it says, that's a little stretch. Then it says this, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, once again, here's a question. If you don't seek God, is he not rewarding you? That's not what I'm trying to say. What I am trying to say is that if you seek after God, there is a promise that you will receive from him. See, some people, we like to look at these scriptures and you say, well, what about this and what about that? Let's just read what it says. If it says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, if you and I decide to start diligently seeking God, we'll be taken care of. Always. That's what this says. That whatever you need from God, it'll be taken care of him. All you have to do is just seek after him. And see, Grayson mentioned this during the offering. God's grace makes everything available. God's grace is what provided for us. God's grace, it's like God reached down from heaven and He came into this world, he came into our life in the form of Jesus, and he made his inheritance available, and he gave us new life. But it's when we seek him that we enter into that new life. It's when we seek after Jesus that we enter into this inheritance. See, there's a lot of promises in the Word of God. There's promises of peace. There's promises of joy. There's promises of healing, of finances, of natural things. There's promises of salvation. And you and I, our job is to seek God until those promises become reality in this world. Let me say that again. Our job is to seek God until the promises that are on these pages become a reality out here. Amen? What does that mean? It means if you're sick, that you seek after God until the promises of this word turn into healing in your body. That if your finances aren't doing great, that you would seek these words and these promises until they are doing great. That if you don't have peace, you seek after God until you see peace and you experience peace. You understand what I'm saying? There's a persistence in this. It isn't, oh, God loves me, I guess I'll be okay. No, it's that if His promises are in this word, if I take Him at His word, and I believe in Him, and I trust in Him, and I seek Him, that those promises will become a reality in this life. And that's what I guess I've been challenged about, is that there is a process, that's a good word, it's a process that has to take place between the words on this page and the manifestation in this life. We can read a word on this page, and we can say, you know, well, God wants me to be blessed, but out here I don't look very blessed. And so what's the deal? There's a process from here to here. And the process is seeking Him. It's seeking Him until we see the results. And I've seen this in the last year. I almost saw, it was like a, this isn't like a vision or anything like this, but I just saw what this looked like. It was like I was standing there, standing in a place, and I was looking up to a higher spot, and I was saying, that's where I want to be, that's where I believe God's called me to, and so I'm standing here, and that's where I want to be, and I was asking God, how do I get to that place? I don't know if any of y'all have ever been like this in life. You believe God has called you somewhere. You believe He's called you to something. And you're looking at it and you're asking Him, how do I get to this place? And I saw it so clearly. It was like a bridge came up. And the bridge was my faith. And as I began to step and step and step, I got to that place. This is what faith kind of looks like, is it bridges the gap between where you are and where God is calling you. You see that? You seek God till you get from here to there. And if you diligently seek Him, that means every day. It doesn't just mean on Sunday mornings or, when you're reading, if you have a devotional, Monday morning, you wake up, you read your devotional, then the rest of the day, you get caught up in your life. And then Tuesday morning, you read the devotional and you're like, okay, yeah, I'm seeking Him. And then the rest of the day, you get caught up in your life. I mean, that's how I am. I'm sure that's how a lot of us are. Is it's just easy to get away from seeking God. But I'm telling you this, that we have a promise in His Word that if we diligently seek Him, that we'll get from point A to point B, whatever that may be. Whether that's healing, or whether it's peace. Whether it's being a life giver, you want to be bolder. You want to give more life. You want to lay hands on the sick, not in here, but out there. How do you get from point A to point B? You diligently seek Him until you see point B become a reality. It's so easy to give up, isn't it? It's so easy to back down. It's so easy to just think, okay, well, I guess it's not for me. I guess it wasn't God's will. I confessed the 5 scriptures today and nothing happened, so I guess it must not be God's will. This is what doubt looks like. I know it's something that I've dealt with. That you want to be somewhere, you want this reality to be reality in your life. And it's so easy just to give up when you don't see a manifestation or you don't see it come to pass. And so tonight what I'm challenging myself and all of us is that we would seek God until we see His manifestation. We would seek God until we saw healing in our bodies. We would seek God until we were provided for. We would seek God until we have peace. And it's like that bridge that I'm going to take steps every day. And it's His grace that empowers me to do it. He's the one who helps me do it. But I'm going to, every day I'm going to wake up and take those steps until I get to where he's called me to be. Amen. There's a story that illustrates this so clearly. It's the story of Peter walking on the water, right? So Peter, he's in the boat, and it's late at night, and they're traveling to the other side from point A to point B somewhere. I don't know where they're going. But the disciples are in the boat, and they see something out on the water. They see a man or a ghost or something. They don't know what it is. I mean, that would be pretty scary to be out and you see something that looks like a ghost out on the water. And so Peter does something really bold, something really brazen, something really crazy. He says, Jesus, if it's you, bid me to come walk on the water. Jesus, if that's you out there, call me out onto the water to walk to you. And I don't really know why he said this. It doesn't really make a lot of sense, right? That's not my reaction to, you know, seeing Jesus out on the water, you know. It's kind of a weird reaction. But Peter, he's at point A, he's at this place, and he looks out and he sees where he wants to be. He wants to be with Jesus. He wants to be doing what Jesus is doing. And so Jesus calls him out. He says, come out, Peter. And Peter takes a step of faith, and he steps off that boat, and he steps into the water, and something amazing happens. The water holds him up. See, every other time before in Peter's whole life, he stepped out into the water, and you know what's happened? He sunk right to the bottom of the lake. They didn't have pools back then, but whatever they swam in, I'm sure whenever they stepped foot in the water, they would go right to the ground, right? Water had never held Peter up, but for some reason this time, when Peter stepped out on the water, it held him up. And then he took another step, and he took another step. Now, we like to talk in this story, you know, this is just how humans are. We love to talk about Peter's failure, you know. Well, he saw the wind and the waves, and he started sinking. Well, I have to tell you something. Peter walked on water. That's pretty amazing. Even if he did sink, who cares? All of us would have sank. You know what I'm saying? That's just the reality. The natural course of things was sinking, and he walked on water. And so when I read that scripture, what I see so clearly is that Peter walked out on Jesus' words. Jesus said, come, Peter. When Peter stepped down, he wasn't walking on water. He was walking on Jesus' words. And he took another step, and he was still walking on Jesus' words. And then, of course, he got distracted by the wind and the waves, but he still took a couple steps. And what's amazing is even when he did start sinking, Jesus was right there. So he did get to Jesus. So here's my point with all of this. We're like Peter so much in life. We see Jesus, or we see the inheritance that God has for us. We see something that God is calling us to. And you and I, we are called to diligently seek him. We are called to step out on the water, to step out on his word and walk. And who cares if you start sinking? Jesus, he'll be right there, okay? Let's not get focused on that. Let's diligently seek him until we see the reality, the manifestation of what God has called us to do. I had a situation when I was in India. I woke up one morning, it was the Sunday before we had to leave, and I woke up that morning, I was feeling really anxious, and it's just such a strange feeling. It's strange how your flesh works, it's strange how the devil works. My feeling was that day is that I needed to stay in India, and so I'd already been there a month, and normally everybody, you know, our natural inclination is you want to go home, you know, you're homesick, you want to go home. But for some reason, I woke up that morning feeling really anxious and like I needed to stay. Now, some people, if you had that feeling, you would call home, or, you know, we couldn't call, but, you know, you'd write home and say, hey, mom, dad, hey, I think I should stay. Can we make arrangements for you to stay, okay? Because some people are led by feelings and they just go by whatever they feel. And I was tempted to do that. I'm not going to lie to you. I was tempted, you know, with these feelings. Is this from God? Is this me? I didn't really know in this situation. But I just didn't, even with that, I didn't feel right. I've been trained here over and over that we got to go to God, we got to go to his word when we make our decisions, that we have to be led by peace and not by fear or anxiety. So what I did that morning is I woke up and I started praying, And I said, God, I really can't tell right now if this is from you or if it's from me or where it's from. I'm having these feelings. I don't know what they are. And so I'm not going to trust in them. If you want me to stay here in India, you can tell me and you'll give me peace about it. And so that morning I woke up and I prayed, and I didn't just say, God, I thank you for today. I bless mom and dad, bless me, and then, you know, I was done. No, I sat down. I started praying in tongues. I spent time doing. I opened up my Bible. I mean, it was a situation, all right? And I was dealing with it because I know that peace is where God has called me to. So in this situation, what I was looking for, what I was seeking after was peace. I wasn't going to make a decision whether I should stay or come home until I had peace. So that morning, I woke up and I had time. I prayed. I wasn't like working hard or anything. That's not what I'm trying to describe. But I just took time. I was diligent about it. And I went back. I went in my room and I laid down on the bed. Right when I laid down on the bed, Holy Spirit, I don't know if you've had this happen. Holy Spirit, He gave me like a word. Almost like I had a word of knowledge for myself, and He told me why I was feeling the way I was. And right when He told me that, I said, oh yeah. I said, you're right. Right when He told me, right when God spoke to me, I had peace. And I can't tell you why necessarily all the reasons I had those feelings. I can't tell you where they came from or any of that. I'm not trying to diagnose the situation. All I know is I didn't have peace, and I knew I needed peace. So I sought God until I had peace. And God came through like He always does. And I had peace about the situation. I knew, yeah, okay, I need to go home. Now that's just a really simple, this isn't a life or death thing. You know, it wasn't like if I had stayed there, you know, it wouldn't have really been that big of a deal. We, a lot of times, when we're following God, we make it more about like life or death, or we like to make it a lot bigger than it is. And I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to make these ultimatums. I just know in that moment I needed peace. And so I sought God until I have peace, and He gave it to me. And I thank Him for that. It wasn't that He was withholding it from me. It was that I wasn't really in a position to receive. And so when I got peace, I knew exactly what to do. When I got peace, I knew exactly what to say. I knew exactly what to deal, how to deal with the situation. All right. Now, we told a story last week, if y'all were here. Y'all, anybody here last Wednesday night? We had some testimonies. It was a good service, wasn't it? There's a story by Oral Roberts. He talks about at one of his meetings, a little boy, Oral Roberts was an evangelist, and he would have healing meetings and big crusades, and Oral Roberts laid hands on, listen to this, over 1.5 million people. I mean, they said that this motion right here of laying hands on people wore out his rotator cuff. Isn't that amazing? That's how much he was laying hands on people. Now, so Oral Roberts, he's having this meeting, and I don't know the places or all the details, but you guys can look that stuff up, okay? That's not me. I'm just trying to communicate a concept. Oral Roberts having this meeting, and a boy comes and shows up at his meeting. It's at the end of it, and Oral's all prayed out, as he would say. He said he didn't have the faith. That's just what he would say. I don't know why he would say that, but he said that he was all prayed out. He was exhausted from laying hands on so many people that night. This little boy walks up to him and says, or his little boy sitting there on crutches, and he's got a big, like, boot thing on his foot, like a big shoe. And he's standing there on his crutches, and Oral comes out, and he says, you know, what are you doing out here? And the little boy says, I'm looking for Oral Roberts. Well, Oral Roberts says, well, here I am. My name's Oral Roberts. Nice to meet you. He says, you know, what's going on, little man? I'm paraphrasing. What's going on, little buddy? That's what I would say. And Willie Phelps is this little boy, and he had come to be healed. He'd had polio, and it had messed up his leg, and it had started to shrivel up, and it was a lot shorter than the other one, and he couldn't walk properly. And so he comes to the Oral's meeting, he comes to this event to be healed. That's why he came. Little Willie Phelps, point A was being sick, was having a problem, and point B was being healed. You see it? So he comes to the meeting, And he came seeking God. He came seeking healing. And he told Oral Roberts, I'm supposed to be healed. Not just I want to be healed, or I'm thinking about healing, or, you know, anything like that. He's saying, I'm supposed to be healed tonight. Isn't that good? That's faith. And so Oral tells the boy, I don't have any faith for you. I mean, that's pretty disheartening. The boy says, well, I don't really know about all that. All I know is I'm supposed to be healed. That's childlike faith right there. I don't really know about all the stuff you're talking about, Oral. All I know is that tonight I came and I'm supposed to be healed. And so Oral says, well, if I lay my hand on you, will you believe that you're healed? And he says, yeah, I'm supposed to be healed. So Oral Roberts lays hands on him, and nothing seems to happen. He walks out, Oral does, and he goes on his way, gets on the plane, he goes back to Tulsa. Little Willie Phelps, that night, he goes home with his parents. They drive him back 50 miles back to where they live. Turns out they had driven 50 miles to get to this meeting. They get back home, and Willie Phelps, he takes off his brakes, his brace, he takes off all the stuff, throws down the crutches, and he tells his mom and dad, I'm gonna walk from point A to point B. Alright, we see this once again. Little Willie Phelps, he starts walking. Whatever was going on with his leg, it was healed. He went and got new shoes. Now, most of y'all heard this story, and Oral told it better than I did, but you see the point once again that if we seek God, if we seek after Him, we're going to receive whatever we need. And see, a lot of times we think, well, I was seeking God and this didn't happen or this didn't happen. And we just get all caught up in what doesn't happen. And I'm telling you to put that stuff aside. That only leads to doubt. Why don't we seek God and throw aside all that other crap and just say, I'm going to seek Him until I see what's in His Word come to pass in my life. That's what faith is. It's seeking God until these words on these page become a reality out here. And whether you're little Willie Phelps or, you know, you have a serious condition, or whether you just need a little bit of direction about your life, it doesn't matter in the scheme of things. To God, it doesn't matter. He wants to pour out all of His blessings. He wants to pour out all of His goodness. And if we just decided as believers to believe, if we just decided as believers that we're going to seek God, we would see it in our lives. This encourages me so much because there's a lot that I want to see from God. I've read a lot about Jesus. Have you guys ever read about Jesus? I see Him do stuff. And I see the way that He treats people, the way He interacts with people. And I say, I want to be like that. And in fact, that's who He's called me to be like. And so it helps me from getting to Harry Judd of today to Jesus. It helps me realize that if I seek God and I diligently seek Him, that one day I'm going to end up like Jesus. That's a good thought for me. I don't know if that encourages you. It helps me when I'm not feeling well, that I know that if I go to His Word and if I go and I speak to sickness and I speak to disease, that He's given me authority. And if I stick with it, I will see healing. I will see that manifest. That really helps me. That gives me a lot of hope. That gives me a lot of boldness, a lot of courage. Not to back down. Not to get sidetracked in this life. But to focus on what he has for us. Thank you, Lord. It's like when I was younger, we used to do egg hunts. And at my house, there was four of us. And so Grayson, you know, he had attention problems, and so he wasn't very good at finding eggs. I won't say anything else. I don't know if that's true or not. I'm just saying that. And then Molly, one of my older sisters, she's very competitive. So she loved egg hunts because she was just going to find the eggs. And then Maddie didn't really care. You know, she had a book in her hand. Y'all know her. And so then there was me. And I was very quiet and I still am pretty quiet. And so I was dangerous when it came to finding eggs. Because one key to finding eggs is you got to keep your mouth shut. You can't tell everybody, you know, where their eggs are at, right? But and I was smaller than Molly. So I could beat her at this because I could get into places that she couldn't and all sorts of things, all right? So we would do these egg hunts, and we used to love these. And, you know, you have your basket. If, you know, you guys have done this with your kids. You have your, they have the little basket and all the stuff, and you're just going around looking for eggs. They may have money in them, may have candy, may have nothing like they did at my house. They didn't really have anything in them. It was purely for sport. At the Judd house, you can do a lot of things purely for sport. You know, my sister, Molly, who says she's very competitive, she, every time she comes home, without fail, she's making us do push-ups purely for sport. There's nothing at the, you know, there's no goal, there's no prize. We're just going to see who's the best. This is how she operates. And so this is how finding eggs was. Who can find the most? And if you find the most, you're the best. So I remember, I love this. And, you know, not every year, but most years I think I did find the most. Simply because of this principle tonight. I was diligent about finding eggs. That I would walk by a spot, I would look everywhere until I found these prized eggs which had nothing in them, which were meaningless, right? Until I found them. There is some diligence. It takes diligence when you're looking for eggs. You can't just stroll through the fields and say, okay, well, I look, Mom, where are they? I didn't see them anywhere, Mom. You know, you kind of kick the grass around. That's how a lot of Christians are. And this whole life with God, it's kind of like we're just walking around the, okay, God, I'm here. Where is everything? You know? All right, it's not there. I guess I'm never going to really find it, God. But what I found out is that if I looked for these eggs, that I would eventually find them. So I would take the time. Sometimes you walk by a spot a million times before you finally see that. Sometimes you read a scripture a million times before you finally get what you need out of it. Right? I will walk by. Sometimes something calls you, leads you, you don't know why you're doing it, but you pick up some pine straw and the egg's under there. Sometimes they've hidden them high, and so you've got to climb up on things before you get there. Maybe you got to grow a little bit and get a little bit taller before you can really reach up and get them. See, finding eggs in these egg hunts, it wasn't just I show up, okay, and then I got my eggs. That's not how it worked. There was a process. Things had to take place. I had to seek. I had to look for them until I found them. And my mom, she would do this. She would tell us how many eggs were out there so we knew. We knew what they looked like. We knew kind of what we were looking for. And we would not leave that field. Or we wouldn't leave our backyard until we found them all. There was some crazy persistence within us. It was the competition of it all that we would not stop looking for eggs until we found them all. Yet, sometimes in my life, when the things of God, I just give up real quickly. And I don't see these words through. But see, when I was looking for eggs, for some reason, I wanted to see things through and find them all. But now I get to things that are a lot more important, like my future. But I'm not willing to take the time, you know, a little bit of time here and there to seek after God. What does God have to say about my future? Isn't it funny how it works? That, you know, the things of this earth, they draw us in so much more. And we can get very caught up and we can seek after a lot of things here on this earth when He's called us to seek the things of heaven, to seek the things of His inheritance. And so I have learned over the years that I have to take time to diligently seek Him. And like this, I'll tell this today. I'm leaving on Sunday after church, so y'all get to see me one more time. I get to see you one more time. Leaving is not an easy thing at all. And this morning I woke up a little bit anxious. And so I had to deal with those feelings this morning. I had to deal with them. You know, you have to take time and deal with feelings. You have to deal with your emotions. You have to deal with fears. You have to deal with worries. And you seek God until you find the peace you need to find. You seek God until those feelings don't matter anymore. Amen. I have such a conviction about that, and I don't know why. Is that the words on these pages have to become true in my life. The words on these pages, they got to become a reality. If we're going to reach people, if we're going to reach this world, then this message has to be a lot bigger than a Bible. Those words, they have to be written on our hearts until we start speaking them, until we start living them out. And so I've just seen so clearly recently that if I diligently seek after God, those words will become a reality in my life. And like Peter stepping out on water, it's scary, it's crazy. But if I just step out on his words, I can get where I need to get. I can get where he's called me. And it's by no means easy. I don't, you know, sometimes I feel like when I communicate things to people that I, you know, make things sound too easy just by oversimplifying things. And I don't want to say it's not super easy, all right? Because this world is fighting you, your flesh is fighting you. But it is possible. It is possible, and not in your own self, but in his strength. Not in your own strength, but in his strength. We can do this thing. And so we have to seek after him. We have to seek after him. And there may have been things in the past like that you went after and you got a few steps, but maybe you started sinking like Peter did. And I encourage you not to just let that be the end of the story. But I encourage you to get back up and start seeking after again. Maybe dreams that you had, maybe things that he spoke to you, things that he said to you that you gave up on because they seemed too hard, they seemed too far out, it just was too difficult. You have to pick those things back up and say, no, God, I'm going after that. I'm going after that. Maybe you've been dealing with sickness. I don't know why I keep saying this. But maybe you've been dealing with sickness in your body and you've been just putting up with stuff and you had gone after it once or twice, but you didn't really see anything happen. You got to recommit to that you're going to see healing in your body. Because it'll happen. It'll happen. In fact, it's already provided for. It's already taken care of. You and I, we just have to really just take that step of faith and just believe that it's going to take place in this world. Believe God's word. Believe the reality of the cross. Believe the reality of the tomb, that tomb being empty and what that means. And we will see it. We will see it. We will see it. Amen. Amen.